Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of the participants in today's roundtable include governors from Texas, Louisiana, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arkansas. Arkansas Governor Sarah Sanders is in focus now. Well, first of all, welcome. And I want to know how you were anticipating this would happen. Did you envision it would come by executive order?
You know, when it comes to working with President Trump, you don't always know how it's going to happen, but you know he's going to get the job done. Couldn't be more excited to be back here, have somebody in this building, in this White House, that believes in our country, is willing to fight for our country, and do what is necessary to shake things up and get some real transformational change brought about from coast to coast. And that's exactly what we've seen from Donald Trump since he stepped in just a few days ago.
Well, Arkansas seems to be doing a lot of things right. And it's interesting how close Arkansas is to us here. I don't know if would Arkansas consider themselves a southern state? They don't.
Oh, definitely.
They're not Midwest.
No,
for sure.
So Missouri is, I mean, southern Illinois feels like, I would say even further south than we are, mm-hmm. feels southern.
Yes.
But where we are feels very Midwestern.
There are people in southern Illinois and probably southern Missouri that actually speak with a southern accent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, definitely. But Arkansas, that's the south.
Yeah.
They're doing things the right way in Arkansas. And I'm so impressed to see Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders leading the way. And it's really nice to see her go back to the White House today to talk about school choice, because Arkansas is a bellwether to the extent with which the school choice opportunity exists. You can go state by state. It's a state issue right now. We're going to get a little bit more into that conversation she had. And Ryan's going to give us a little bit of an update on the executive order that Donald Trump signed and what's in it. What does it mean? As you know, this week, if you've listened at all this week, hopefully you're still listening this. Of course you are, because you can hear me saying this right now. It is time to complete our scholarship, and I'm very excited to share that we are over $11,000.
Whoa, that's a surprise.
Yeah, it continued. The website, if you go to Lisa with an E, LESASTL.org/Annie, they have to update this little thermometer there manually, mm-hmm. and they are pleasantly very busy at trying to update this thing every time donations come in.
Especially from noon to three.
Yeah, yes, for sure. So that gives us a goal, or says that we've raised $11,060, but we just got another donation in and we're up to $11,163.
Fantastic.
So we are 3,837 people from our goal. We've had, and they're very excited about the amount of donors, the small donors, the people who are like, I'm going to throw $25 this way, maybe $50. A lot of people have been giving $100. We've had several people donate $1,000, at least one person. There are several $500 donations as well. But we have a little bit, I don't know if it's a wager with each other. It's more with you as a listener. Yesterday, we concluded, through much bullying by Ethan and Brad,
yeah,
that we would establish, if we can hit our $15,000 goal today for the Lutheran Elementary School Association scholarship, if we raise $15,000, they have a match ready with an additional $10,000, and we can create an endowment which will continue to bless local kids and their ability to choose a Lutheran education. It's a really wonderful opportunity. It's School Choice Week. It's also National Lutheran Schools Week. If you go onto the website at lesastl.org/Annie and you make a donation, you can leave a comment. They're sending me the comments that are left with it. I'll give you a shout out. But we're trying to get to $15,000 before the end of the show. It's a tall order.
So
we made this wager that I'm about to say here with the understanding that this was a pretty steep climb.
Yeah, and ultimately, when you're talking about it, I was a little nervous that at this point on Friday, we would not be within striking distance.
We're right there.
And we are.
Yeah.
We're within striking distance of actually making that. The wager is looking more possible than I thought it would. But you know what's cool is, as you're saying that, that it's worth 3,800 and some change away from being at 15, but ultimately we're 3,800 away from being at
$25,000
because of the match.
Yep, which is incredible. So the wager is, I said if we got to $15,000, I would allow Ryan to trim an inch off of my hair. And there is one other caveat to that. The people have to speak. Democratic process completely. Our YouTube live chat poll for today is, if we meet our goal, should I let Ryan trim my hair?
And the inch, she said this yesterday.
No, I didn't. Whatever you're about to say is an absolute abject lie.
No, you really did say this yesterday. You said that the inch has to be the bottom of the hair.
Okay, that's true.
Because I was suggesting maybe right near the scalp I could do that inch.
Yeah, that's no. There's like contractual fine print a mile long on this, but I'm going to provide the trimming scissors an inch off the bottom of my hair, and Ryan is going to shave his beard. I don't know if I've ever seen you beardless.
You probably haven't. I don't know that I've seen me beardless in maybe a decade.
How long will it take you to grow that back if you have to shave it?
Week and a half.
Ryan's like an hour.
Yeah. It'll grow back. Now, you've seen me with a light beard before, because right now it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be a stark difference if you take it off.
It will be. And I'll leave the mustache, I think, just for fun.
Yeah, I told him he could take some liberties with mustache.
Maybe, yeah, just for a day, I'll leave like a crazy mustache, and then I'll just get rid of the whole thing and start regrowing it. But nobody's seen that, including me.
Well, the way you can donate, and small donations will absolutely count today. That's how we're going to get across the finish line if we are to make it. Like I said, we know it's a steep climb, but we're willing to try, and we hope you'll try with us. It's incredibly simple to donate online. If you've got $20 to spare on Payday Friday here, we would be so grateful to make this community of people helping these kids access this Lutheran education even bigger. LESA, that's Lisa, LESASTL.org/Annie, and you'll go right there. And I will get updates from Amy and Libby at Lisa throughout the course of the show to tell us how we're doing.
Amy and Libby at Lisa.
Yeah.
It kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about this, since it is school choice, and this is going to be a huge impact for our education system in a ripple effect kind of ways. I certainly am the most interested in, and I think I put my money where my mouth is on this, making sure that families have the ability to choose where their children are educated, and that their tax dollars that they are paying should help educate their own children. I don't really think that's a wild suggestion. Sarah Sanders was saying more with Harris.
These numbers I want to run by you, and I know you know them well. 40% of fourth graders in our nation read below a basic level. 33% of eighth graders reading below a basic level. So with all of those years in between them, they're not learning much more. I mean, we're not succeeding with our children.
You know, we've seen a significant decline. In fact, if you look at some of the test scores that were released in the last couple of days, often referred to as the nation's report card, for the first time in two decades, we've seen a decline in student test scores. I think there are several things that are at play. I think one, unrestricted access to smartphones and social media has had a tremendous impact on our students, and certainly our youngest students. And one of the reasons that we have been talking about and trying to raise awareness on that. One of the other things is, we know, I'm a mom, I have three kids, and they all three learn differently. I know that they each need different things in order to be successful. So trying to shove some one-size-fits-all model down everybody's throat is never going to work. That's why you're seeing so many states around the country start to open up parental choice, universal school choice. We saw it get passed in Tennessee yesterday. It's something we did in the first few months of my administration. When Donald Trump took office, there wasn't a single state in the country that had school choice. Now there are more than a dozen and growing by the day, because he's empowering states and empowering parents to take control of their kids' education again.
It's been good to see states take up the mantle and really work this out. Maybe try some things that didn't work great in order to get to a successful way to provide educational choice for parents. And she says it right there. It's important to understand that kids do learn differently. And I cannot come up with a good argument. And this is how I process things in my head. I argue with myself. like a crazy person because I want to try to prove my points wrong with some sort of logic that makes my argument better. But I don't understand how if I believe that the best foundation, educational foundation for my child might be maybe it's at a local Lutheran school because your public school is failing. Maybe you're not Lutheran. Maybe you're passively Christmas and Easter Christian and your parents were Christian, so you go to church with them on the holidays. But you know that the education they're going to get at that Lutheran school is going to far surpass what is happening at your failing public school. You're paying an enormous amount of money in property taxes, but you don't get to benefit from those. Why is it that those people get to choose where your child has to go? So Donald Trump has signed an executive order on this. Ryan, can you tell us a little bit about the language or the purpose of what Trump has done so far?
Yeah, President Trump signed an executive order on Wednesday directing federal agencies to find ways to prioritize school choice programs, which often use taxpayer money to help parents enroll their kids in non-public schools. This is from USA Today, so you're going to get a little bit of a skew here, but I think the facts are the facts. The order instructs the Federal Education Department to favor school choice programs when awarding discretionary grants. It also mandates that the Education Department and the Department of Health and Human Services issue guidance on how states can use certain grants to encourage families to pursue education alternatives. One more fact about this, it requires the Interior Secretary, so it's not just one department. It requires multiple departments here, the Interior Secretary, to find ways to use federal money to help families with children in the Bureau of Indian Education schools to enroll elsewhere. That's a very specific point in the executive order.
Let's listen to a little bit more here from Harris Faulkner and Sarah Sanders, Governor
Sanders. I want to go back to what the governor was just mentioning because we have a map. 12 states with universal school choice, Montana, Iowa, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Arizona, Utah, Arkansas, as you just heard from Governor Sanders, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Alabama, all have at least one private school choice program that's universally accessible to K through 12 students in that particular state. So states on their own, like yours, have had to ignite this necessarily.
Unfortunately, it has been left to the states, but that's not the case anymore. We saw President Trump sign an executive order. He's convened people from all over the country here at the White House today. We now have somebody who is going to champion American families and do so by empowering parents to make the best decision possible about where and how they can be educated. Republican governors have had to have that fight on their own for the last 4 years. We no longer have to do that by ourselves. We have somebody in the White House that not only is going to fight bias, but is going to lead the charge and help make sure we get the job done. And the best and most important beneficiaries are going to be students and kids across the country.
Yes, we need to see this happen on a broader level. And I will be so curious if Donald Trump, and he needs to be able to do it early, in his administration. He needs to be able to implement the opportunity for families to be connected to the tax dollars that those families pay. I'm not talking about your, you love public education and you don't want to see any of your tax dollars go to some Christian parochial school that's not public. Okay. But what about my tax dollars? Why do you get to make demands on your tax dollars, but I don't get to make demands on mine that I want to follow my children? I can't think of an American argument against that case. If Donald Trump is able to implement something that doesn't have an entire obstacle course connected to the ability to allow parents to choose where their tax dollars go in connection with their own children. And I would even say this, I think grandparents should be able to determine that as well. If you are able to do that early, by the end of those 4 years, we will have numbers that potentially reflect the shift out of the public school system into a parochial or a private or a charter or a homeschool situation and where learning is. We'll be able to see if there's any correlation.
I just want to read a quote from Trump here, and this is from his campaigning on this issue. He says he wants to send, quote, their children, as in the American public's children, to the public, private, or religious school that best suits their needs, their goals, and their values, unquote. Now, the amazing thing about that is that we're not just talking about if you have a kid that you want out of the private school and you want to put him in a Christian school. Let's say you have a very artistic child and you want to put him in a Montessori school. It's whatever suits your child the best, that's what would be able to be attained here.
And if you are actually investing in an educated public, that's what you would want. All right. We're going to take a quick break because Dana Perino is going to join us next.
All right.
She's my favorite.
This will be great.
We've had her on the show, I think, one other time. And I don't really get nervous to interview people. I'm already stuttering. I love her. Love her. Love her. Like, mentorship. If people were to say, like, who do you look to in media? My numero uno is Dana Perino. Before we get to Dana, let's give you an updated number. I said we were at, 11,163? We are now at 11,826.
All right.
So we are $174 this break away from crossing the $12,000 mark. And I want to give a couple shout outs here. Cheryl Earhard says, we have always supported Lutheran education. Our family has three generations of Lutheran school attendees, thanks to all those teachers who touched lives. I can absolutely agree with that. And Roger and Millie Ernst, thank you so much for your donation. They want to give a special shout out to St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. This is the church where I was baptized in 1984. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois is a great Lutheran school for your child. Check it out. They are wonderfully growing over at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel. Go give them a look if you're looking for, I think it's a classical education there. It's really awesome. And Roger and Millie, thank you so much for your generous donation. Let's talk to Dana Perino next.
What President Trump has promised to the American people is more choice for parents and a better chance for success for the kids. We don't need to be teaching a critical race theory. We need to be teaching academics. We need to talk about math, science, reading. We need to get to STEM and STEAM, including accounting and arts. Under President Biden, it's pathetic. He spends more time on the adults in education than he did on the kids. President Trump will turn that dial and we'll see more time on kids than we do on the adults in the system.
Senator Tim Scott speaking to President Trump's efforts, these recent efforts that we were just reporting on his executive orders to find us a way to get school choice so that kids can learn. Of course, the parents, they understand what's best for these children. Let's empower those parents to access their own tax dollars in some way, shape or form to get these test scores up and to make a brighter future for our country. I want to get to our guest straight away here. Dana Perino joins us, the co-anchor for America's Newsroom, co-host of The Five, and host of Perino on Politics, a podcast you must check out. Dana, it is an honor to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Honored to be here. Thank you.
So it's School Choice Week. It's National School Choice Week. I heard you reporting a little bit earlier on test scores. There's not really a lot of numbers advocating that what we're doing right now is getting our children educated in a way that gives us a brighter future for America.
Well, thank you for giving me a chance to talk about it. I think this is the actual national emergency of our time. And we can get into like what can be done about it. But what has happened is that test scores for reading and math have gone down precipitously for a long time, and there's rarely any bright spots. And the report card that came in for the country this week shows that only 33% of our children are reading at grade level. Math scores were not as bad in terms of going down, but the reading scores are terrible. And it's for the youngest kids, and it's for the eighth graders, and it's really, it cuts across all races and ethnicities in rural and urban areas. And I'll tell you, Annie, actually there was one bright spot, and that was in Louisiana. Some of the youngsters there are doing better in reading. And what they have done in the last 5 years is return to basics and the science of reading and the phonics of reading. This country took a terrible turn many years ago, about 25 years ago or so, 20 years ago, to start teaching like new way of reading. It did not work. And we are not setting them up for success. If you don't know how to read, your chances of actually spending time in jail in your life are really high.
Wow.
So we have national security concerns. We have economic growth concerns. And the fact that we are just robbing them of a lifetime of enjoyment and employment.
Yeah, I look at the future and think, okay, if we're trying to invest in fortifying the system as it is, who really benefits from that? And it doesn't seem as though the focus is really ever around those children. The status quo of the system right now, who's benefiting the most if we don't change mm-hmm. anything and we keep it the way it is?
Well, really, nobody. And I think that teachers are amazing people. I think teachers' unions are a terrible, terrible scourge. And they are holding on to power for reasons I can understand from their point of view why they try to do this. And I do think that parental involvement is important and all of those things. However, for example, in Michigan this week, it was reported that a teacher would have to be found to be drunk 5 times before they got fired. 5 times.
Five.
And it's just bizarre to me. I'm like, how are we accepting this behavior? And to be honest, one of the things I believe that the Democrats could do to jolt themselves out of the malaise that they find themselves in, self-imposed, you know, they did this to themselves. But if there was a brave Democrat to come out and say, we are going to have a rethink on the thing that is most important for our children, and that is their education, and to push back against the teachers' unions and demand more accountability, then I think that they might find a willing audience, and they might find willing partners on the other side of the aisle, too.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Dana Perino joining us right now, co-host of The Five, co-anchor of America's Newsroom on Fox News. You know, I think about Donald Trump and the breadth of things that he has been able to do in such a short amount of time. But sometimes the system needs a wrecking ball. And it feels like what education doesn't have right now is a marketplace. That makes a lot of people nervous to talk about a marketplace for children. But I feel like competition, if the public school system had to compete against something, and that's where school choice comes in, that maybe they would be pressed to work to find more solutions. Do you think Donald Trump can make a strong move regarding school choice and do so quickly?
It's interesting because sometimes these movements come from the bottom up or from the top down. And in this case, it's sort of like coming from both at the same time over a period of how long have I been in government? Since 1995. Oh, I'm not in government anymore. But since, you know, I started in government and following it. So that's a long time to look at this experiment. If I go back even further to when I was a kid growing up in Denver, when I was at the end of the third grade year, Denver Public Schools decided that it would be the first in the nation to try busing in order to integrate the schools. And so starting in fourth grade, instead of walking to my local elementary school, I had to be bused about 18 miles. To another school into a different neighborhood and a different situation. I was one of only 3 white children there. Nobody was prepared for how all of this was going to go. And after 2 years of trying to make it work, my parents decided to leave. And one of the choices was, at that time, it was either my parents had to find additional private tuition money for me to be able to go to, actually it was a Lutheran school in Denver, or they could try to move out to the suburbs. Actually, it was quite a rural area at the time. It's a suburb now called Parker, Colorado. And that the option that they chose was to move out west. And they'd grown up in Wyoming, so being in a rural area was quite appealing to them. But I got there, and there was, like, no diversity in the schools at all. And there wasn't a choice. Right? They couldn't take their taxpayer dollars in Denver and allow me to utilize that someplace else. So over time, that has changed. And the other thing that's happened, though, at the same time that there are many parents asking for school choice and different options and looking at the different ways that you could educate children, we have a huge problem in the schools that one of the reasons kids can't read and write is because they're not going to school. Chronic absenteeism is at an all-time high. It's only come down a little bit since COVID. But the chronic absenteeism of teachers is at an all-time high, too. So I think that if you are a business person like Donald Trump and you're looking at this, you're thinking, why are we doing it this way? Isn't there a better way to get to a more efficient outcome with better profits? Profits in this case meaning better outcomes in terms of education. And I think the answer is undeniably yes. Or if it's not, then what's the worst that could happen?
Yes, that's such a great perspective on the system and really over decades and how the system has not progressed in a way that really benefits the education of the child. It kind of perpetuates itself. Dana Perino, we're really grateful for your time, and I don't want to keep you too long here. You mentioned that you had the opportunity to go to a Lutheran school, and we're doing a scholarship drive. We're trying to establish an Annie Fry Show scholarship. We're about 75% to our $15,000 goal here.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. I want to ask you about your thoughts on, you know, charter schools, homeschools, Lutheran schools, certainly Catholic schools, those alternative options that are out there for families who may want to choose and make those sacrifices that it takes to get into something as an alternative.
I think there's a lot of great things about alternatives, like charter schools, but I also think there's something very special about a faith-based school, and I utilize and rely on my faith quite a bit. I did not have a chance to go to that kind of a school. I went to a public school, but we were very active in our Lutheran church when I was growing up in Denver and Parker, and then I continued that when I worked on Capitol Hill. I went to Lutheran Church of the Reformation, which is just a block or two from the Supreme Court, and I really found companionship and friendship and a way to be grounded in my life. And so I think that when you look across all of the different things that you could donate money to me, education is the thing that will pay off the most.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And I'll just say, as a viewer, somebody who's watched your career, and I've been in media, I graduated from my communications, I got my communications degree, degree in 06, that it has been, there's a light about you, Dana, and a kindness, and there's something, a brightness about you that is inspiring. And I really am grateful for your words today on this particular issue that's very close to me personally. And I thank you for your time.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show, and thank you for the kind words.
Well, I hope you'll come back. We appreciate you, Dana.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Bye-bye. Dana Perino. Seriously, and all, not trying to be like sappy or whatever. If you've listened to the show, you don't really hear me talk about guests this way. We have a lot of good friendships with people who come on frequently. Joe Concha is one that comes to mind very quickly. Hans and Tyrus and a lot of those folks that hit the Gutfeld show. Dana doesn't come on a lot, but her schedule doesn't really match up as conveniently with ours because she has a very long morning and she's just getting off. But there is something about Dana has a level of grace and kindness without having to sacrifice being incredibly intelligent and to the point. And I've always appreciated that about her. And I was very excited, Brad, that you got her on the show today. So thank you.
Fox News knows that, too. You can see that she gets a lot of really good slots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they trust her with a lot. You can tell.
Next time we do an Ask Me Anything and someone says, what's your favorite interview you've ever done? That was it.
Really?
Yeah. For sure.
More than Lou Holtz.
That was my husband's favorite interview that I ever did. And the whole time I was interviewing Lou Holtz, which we've done twice, all I could think about is how happy my husband was going to be to see us on the screen together, because the Lou Holtz interview was a video one. So you get to see Lou Holtz there. And my favorite line from Lou Holtz is, we're Notre Dame and they ain't. Now, okay, Buckeyes, I get it. But that was very cool to be able to do that because my husband's affinity for Notre Dame and Notre Dame history and football and everything. But Dana Perino is my Lou Holtz. Has she ever heard that before? I don't know. Don't tell her I said
it. I'm going to send that to her.
You know, a little editorial here, but it's tougher to interview people who do what you do because they know how you do it, mm-hmm, and how to do it well and how not to do it well. Mm-hmm. Because if you interview somebody random who's like a comedian or something, they don't do radio. They're professionals, but they don't do what we do.
In fact, it's really hard to interview comedians.
That's true, too. I mean, I was going to say that. But
comedians, from the time they start talking to the time they're done talking, they're doing something.
They're either doing a bit or they're trying to work to
they're getting
something.
To it. It's like talking to you.
And you're trying. Yeah, exactly. So it's tough. But it keeps you sharp. And that's kind of where I was going with it. No, that's not at all where I was going
with
this. But it's tougher to interview somebody who is in your profession. It's just like doctors don't want to go see doctors because they don't want to sit there and criticize or be a part of the process. I had that same thing. I'm not nervous to interview like random Don McLean from American Pie. These people that I'm like, wow, these people are legends, you know? But then I interviewed Dennis Prager once and I couldn't get words out. I'm like, you're better at this than I am, so I'm just going to flub it. Why don't you take over, sir?
I mean, we talk to Harris Faulkner pretty regularly on the show now. When we reach out to book her, we're able to book her. Maybe sometimes it's in a couple weeks. Maybe sometimes it's right away. I just really love being able to talk to very strong but graceful and kind women. And I really believe that Fox News has that in spades. And Dana has always been, I didn't know. I read her book, She might have two books. Well, I think she definitely has two books, but there's one book that she basically wrote as advice to young women. And I love every bit of it. I just feel like she is, she's like such a great mentor, and you can just see it on her when you watch her. There are a lot of ways to do what we do in this industry, and we certainly on this show, as a whole show, have chosen a path that might look a little bit different than how other people have the opportunity to interview people. I cannot stand if I'm tuning into something in an interview talk setting when you have an interviewer who has an expert guest on, or maybe it's just a friendly guest, you know, whatever, and they spend minutes answering the question that they're about to ask and then asking the expert who's sitting there, who's giving you their time, and then they basically ask that person if they agree.
Yeah.
If I were, and the thing about it is, like, Dana Harris Faulkner, we've had Brett Baer on the show before. We've had a lot of people that are very high profile from Fox News come on. They are the top tier interviewers. My job as a host is to shut my mouth and let them speak. But like a Dana Perino, if you get a little fangirly about it, which I could, you like want to make a good impression. But that then makes it about me. It's not about you as a listener. My job is to connect you to Dana Perino. And I got to get out of the way. And that's something that I don't think a lot of people in the industry know well. It's something that I've had to learn. And I grew up in a household with a father who was spent 30 years in radio and had no problem being like, Annie, stop talking. Don't do this, do this, do this. And I credit him so much for making me the broadcaster I am today, if I'm any good, at least. I blame you for the bad parts, though.
Now I'm nervous because this weekend I'm going to interview somebody from the federal aviation community.
Are you?
No, but you know, it's a pretty good setup for a joke. And so what I was going to do was I was just going to tell him my experience with writing on planes for like 3-4 minutes.
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
It's Chris Farley. Yeah. It's Chris Farley sitting there. That was great.
You ever ridden the exit row? Let me tell you about one time that I. Yeah, 3-4 minutes later, I'm like, anyway, back to the news.
Remember that one time?
Yeah.
That was awesome. It is. And you'll hear it. It's more often than not that people who aren't at the top tier spend a lot of time trying to impress. I was like, just be quiet. Your job's actually way easier than that. Just ask a question and step aside. Ron says, if you say may the force be with you to a Lutheran, they will always reply, do you know, Brad? That's a no.
No.
You're Baptist.
Okay. I do.
Yeah.
Do you? And also with you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Luther side
Thank
of
Thank you very much.
You're a Star Wars guy and a Baptist, so you didn't get to unlock the secret door, no. But you get to come
Catholics
in.
Say Thank that you. Too, though.
Probably. Lutherans are Catholics without the guilt. I don't know if that's going to make our numbers go up or down. Just kidding. We've brought the Catholics and the Lutherans together in this scholarship. All right. I don't know if we're getting any. If you like the Dana Perino interview, can you give us $10 and we'll get us closer and closer to that goal of $15,000? Should we reach $15,000? And I mean, we're talking like thousands of dollars that we need to raise in a couple hours. We are going to allow Ryan to trim my hair. And we're going to find out today how close Ryan is to understanding an inch. We're going to practice today just in case we need to do it. The last update I had is that we are $174 away from crossing over the $12,000 mark. We might have done that yet. I don't have another update. Here's how you donate. If you can be a part of that $174 to get us across the $12,000 mark over this break, LESA, that stands for Lutheran Elementary School Association, LESASTL.org/Annie. Wiggins America, be or not the be, next. Maybe we need to do a Zumba fundraiser for the Lutheran Education School Association.
Yeah, let's use this song because apparently there's a bunch of cuss words in it.
As long as you dress like that.
Okay.
It's America Day on the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah.
So you got to check us out and see what we're wearing here. You also need to let us know who wore it best. I might America a little harder in the 2 o'clock hour.
I was hoping. I thought maybe you dressed down a little bit because you were interviewing Dana Perino.
Huh?
Well, I thought maybe you weren't going to go full crazy Patriot
face
stuff.
Face painted. Yeah. And I'm like, Dana, I love you.
Yeah, right.
Like, don't ever book that show again.
Can you imagine if she would have been a Zoom interview and you would have, like, dressed up super crazy?
I just, like, stance off the camera and mind my own business.
You dress up, look ridiculous, then stand off camera.
For her, yeah.
Like, you could have avoided that somehow.
The YouTube live chat poll, should Annie let Wiggins trim her hair if we meet our goal? I don't have an update yet, but we were just about $170. Oh, boy.
Look at that. Laura says no to the vote.
Oh, boy.
Annie's doing a great fundraiser. Why should she be penalized?
What a dumb thing to say.
Oh, you really want it to happen then?
Yeah, I want it to happen. More so for the sake of you getting your beard shaved than anything.
Do you know how hard we worked to bully Annie into this?
That's true. Yeah, we right on the threshold.
I mean, it was
here.
Like, I didn't know it was coming, but once you started, I was like, yeah, we're all in on this.
I felt attacked.
I had a pretty neutral part, I feel
I
like, in this
that.
Entire thing.
You know, like, Ethan, you're sneaky, and we all know it.
Whoa, 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 hold on.
I don't even know what Gone in 60 Seconds
Let's
is.
Let's seize up here with the accusations, shall we? What I was going
14.
To say is, deep down inside, I was very hopeful that we are going to be able to make a deal happen.
Yeah, I know. You brokered it.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, I went back and played that for my family last night because they didn't know about the haircutting thing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know if we get to $15,000 today that was on the table. And my husband was like, look at Ethan getting it done.
Yeah.
You should be in sales.
It's just what I do.
I get
stuff done.
Very conflicted to report that we just got another $1,000 donation.
Oh, no way.
Here we go.
That's great.
Let's go.
Yeah. I can't believe that. Yeah,
that's great.
Wait.
I'm excited.
So do we know the number we're at right now?
I'm going to get an. I'll get a total.
Okay.
This is what I want you to understand about this scholarship. There are. Okay. And I'm not saying this in any way, shape, or form to push back against the other system that I'm going to talk about. But Catholic schools are funded by the Catholic Church. There is an apparatus. I don't know all the details, but there is a lot of money that goes into Catholic education. Lutheran schools do not have that. You pay your tuition, and places, organizations like the Lutheran Elementary School Association help make it more possible. And then with each different church that has a parochial school attached to it, they work out how they want to sustain their church. And a lot of times that can be up for debate. If they have a very blessed year, maybe something happens. If they need a little help, maybe something happens. Oh, no. Another $1,000?
Whoa.
Holy
cow. We're getting close.
They said, give me a minute to catch up on total. No, my gosh.
Ooh, I want to know what the total is now.
I'm lightheaded.
Wait, so what was the number going into the day? Like, or going into the show, I should say.
This morning at 10:37, it was 11,060.
Holy moly!
And then right before the show, it was 11,163, so we got like a $100 donation.
Okay.
And then by 12:18, it went up to 11,800. And now we have a $2,000 additional to that.
So we're like, I mean, you know, do some just a little bit of math here, and we're just a little over $1,000 away potentially. Holy moly!
I think we got. Well, what just happened was
14,136.
That's less than a G.
Annie is off camera.
She's hiding.
She
Annie,
is hyperventilating.
Annie, you hiding isn't going to change
Annie,
these numbers.
Get out of the fetal position. It's not going to help anything.
Oh my
How
gosh.
About this? How about this? If we hit the goal and people vote no in the poll, I'll just cut half of your hair.
Shush.
Or if we're doing halvesies here, then you get half of your beard cut off.
Yep.
So only one side is gone.
Yep. And I'll turn one way and I'll sing Sonny's parts, and I'll turn the other side and I'll sing Cher's parts.
You're the weirdest person I know.
He would love every second of that too.
Uh huh. Now put your little hand in mine, and then I'll cut her hair while I'm doing it.
Who sings lower?
I think that's Cher.
$864.
You know what, though? Here's
We're $864 segue. Away. I said by three people. Come on. It's going to happen by 1
speaking,
o'clock.
Speaking of share, this is your chance to share with a child in our area through Lisa. L-E-S-A. dot
STL.
Wait, not
STL.
Did I mess it up?
LisaSTL.org/Annie,
like Ethan was just saying. Look, Ethan's 14 years old. If he can remember it, you can.
Wait a second. Add a decade onto that, and then you got it.
I got to read a comment here.
Okay.
From Lawrence Bath, in support of St. John the Baptist Gildahouse family. Awesome. I really want to meet the goal. I'm willing to do it. I could still put my trust in the people of the Annie Fry Show on the poll.
Put your trust in the Lord.
Oh, it is. Did you not just see? I just got on my knees.
Yeah, you did. I think you're actually getting pretty nervous about this.
I am nervous. I'm not getting actually nervous. I am there.
What?
We are present in nervous.
Well, we passed 14,000. I think we all went, whoa, okay.
She's getting a little flush.
Listen, yeah. There will be an emergency opening available if he absolutely just destroys
your
hair.
Did you tell your mom? Your mom's
I will text my mother right now.
Ethan Hannaford's mother is a just renowned hairdresser. And I am going to be knocking on her door.
Can I? Yes, you will. Because I think part of the deal should be if we get 215,000 deals on and the vote has to pass. If we go past it.
Oh, crap.
I get
yes
to wear,
is winning now.
I get to, yeah. If we go past 15,000, though, I get to wear roller skates while cutting.
Oh.
Okay, one roller skate.
No.
But I have to stand on that leg.
Joe? There will not be bangs.
I've seen a lot of questions about that, and I was going to ask how you feel about bangs.
I told him he could trim an inch, and we need to practice what an inch is to this man sitting to my right.
Ryan?
Because I don't know.
Did you learn yesterday, last night?
No, I did not.
You didn't learn overnight?
I only, like I said yesterday, I only know metric.
Okay, we're going with the centimeter. We have...
A kilometer.
2 hours to get there. We have, what did I say, $864 to go. And on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll, they have to vote yes if they want this to actually happen.
So the
happen.
Stars
that
have
was,
to
you
align.
You can go back and listen to yesterday, and you can listen to the very official behavior of Ethan Hannaford.
People just putting in
what I do.
Emojis of scissors. You have to actually vote. You know, you can't just put a comment and said, yeah. You have to vote.
Mike says, I say it's an additional inch for every $100 over the 15K.
I agree.
Absolutely not.
I agree.
Inch. Maybe that's when we go to the metric and we do a centimeter from that point on.
No.
It's a compromise.
Get
on
the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now and vote yes or no if you want this to happen. And we're going to need a little over $800 to do it. Why are you reaching for your wallet, Ryan? Put that back.
Oh,
put it back.
It's going to happen now.
Put it back.
But we need to make more accounts and vote.
LisaSTL.org/Annie. What did we do? What have we done? Be or not to be in the next segment. We'll be right back.